What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome from a frigid central Michigan. Oh my gosh, Amy, are you staying warm?
Yeah, actually, I'm okay. I'm very, very, very thankful for our warm house, and my car this morning when I went for a meeting was like negative 13. It said out there, crazy.
Actually, the meeting was with both of us, and Amy and I just got back from having hot coffee at a local coffee shop, and it was minus 14 when I left. Let's warm things up by talking about the most important decision that a company can make to start a successful business. And that's coming up with the most fundamental brand element, the name of the company.
It can be a very, very painful process.
It can be. And what I've discovered over the years is that not only do people not know that, they don't know that it can be a painful process, but when they dive into it, they encounter that and they go through the grind of trying to find a good name. And it's a crazy huge percentage, like 9 out of 10 people they'll be eyeball deep in the process and then they'll find a mediocre name, or they'll just settle for something that they found earlier because they're just tired of the process. What a tragedy. What do you think the typical process is, Andy?
Well, I think people usually, they have something that they like to do. They decide they're going to start a company, and they quickly come up with a name, maybe without putting a whole lot of thought into it. I think people fall back on using their name or using something really obvious to what they're doing. Yeah. Brand usually doesn't come into it very much at all. And then maybe a few years later, they realize that, you know, they should have spent more time on their name. But now they're kind of invested in it, and changing your name after being in business for a long time is more of a painful process because you've got all that brand equity.
Right. Yeah. And not to say anything about, even if it's not a big company with time behind them, even if it's let's say it's a year old company, but you've launched, you've got a website, you made business cards, you've printed up letterhead and sending out invoices under that name, and you've got a year's worth of clients under your belt. That's changing your name after the fact, that where you've decided you don't have a really good name. That's a very, very painful process to even think about. So we recommend to all people who are starting a new business that you put in the huge amount of effort that it takes to find a great name. And it is, like you said, painful, really, really painful.
Right. Well, one of the things I think that can reduce or minimize some of that pain is to choose your archetype and think about your brand strategy before you ever come up with the name. But this isn't usually what happens with people. It can be now, though, for you guys out there listening, like Kevin said, if you're thinking about a business, we really encourage you to listen to this because it will help you. But if you pick your archetype before your name, your archetype can help you choose your name because you want your name to be on brand and have something, you know, relatable to your archetype and that emotional connection you're making with your clients. And so that can kind of rule out a lot of other options, actually, with that kind of thing. So that's the very first step, really, is to pick your archetype. But like we said, that doesn't often happen. So if you've already got your company name, or, you know, your business strategy, then it can just be more of a difficult process. And we should note, we don't suggest renaming your company lightly. There's got to be a lot of compelling reasons to do that.
Right. And we don't ever suggest, when I hear you say, Amy, that people should keep the brand strategy in mind, we shouldn't be locked into specific ideas for a name based on the brand. we should just have the expectation that all of our brand elements, including our company name, support the brand. It doesn't have to be overt and blatant and in your face. You know, if I'm a jester archetype, I don't have to have a logo with a jester hat, and I don't have to use the word crazy, wacky, funny in my name. So Flock Marketing is a jester archetype, and the idea of taking flight as our tagline and our logo with flying birds, it just has a fun feel, and we use bright, saturated colors. And so it's supportive of the archetype. It's not overtly jester.
Right. Yeah, and we're going to talk a little more about this later, but one of the things that we have to think about these days with naming a company that we didn't have to decades ago is that if you come up with a great name, you also want your URL, your website domain name for that name, and so you have to consider whether that's available or not.
Right.
And that goes into the whole process of naming your company, which, you know, we'll get into later. And then
the social media accounts.
Addition to the social or to your website is the social media accounts, whether they're available. So lots of things to think about. We are currently going through a heartache situation because we have all of our social media accounts as brand archetypes, except Pinterest.
Yeah,
because somebody else grabbed brand archetypes on Pinterest, so we had to come up with the variation. So if you're out there and you own the Pinterest account brand archetypes, give us a call. We want to talk.
Yes, big bucks. I'm willing to give a gift card to the coffee shop we went to this morning.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about what we're doing here. For the last 5 podcasts, we've talked about different topics of identity and branding. And today's no different. We're going to talk about naming. But this topic is kind of a monster. I've known that this process is so arduous, so laborious, so difficult, so painful, that it really needs to be a book. And the book has been in me for, 10 years now. And after doing the outline for these podcasts and talking to you, Amy, I think we need to add that to our list of things to do for brandarchetypes.com. We really need to write this book, formalize the process. But you guys listening to the podcast here, you're going to get the benefit of all the things that we've learned over the past 15, 20 years or so. The ideas that we're going to be talking about today are really kind of the high level rules. If you follow these rules, not as a process, but just follow these rules, you almost are guaranteed to have a decent name. Maybe not a great name, but a decent name. So we have all these rules, and that's what we're talking about today. But this topic, naming a company or a product or a domain or any service, anything that you're naming, this is just the naming of something, is so big that we really have to split it into two parts. So what we're talking about today are the high-level ideas. And then next week, we're going to talk about a much deeper dive into the steps that you would go through, the process that you would follow in trying to find a good name.
Okay? In securing that name as your own.
Exactly right.
Right.
So thank you for starting us out with saying stay within brand. So if you haven't taken the questionnaire, please do so. Go to brandarchetypes.com/questionnaire. Take the questionnaire and try to get a handle on the kind of emotional connection that you want to establish, because as you will see when we go through these rules, we'll point out that that decision dramatically changes how you go through this process and the end result, right?
Right. So one of the first things that people want to do when they name their company is that they want it to explain what they do. That makes sense.
Right.
And we've talked in past podcasts where that's not always necessary, you know, like Nike isn't running shoes, and we've talked about what Nike is and all that kind of thing. But if you can get a name that's exactly descriptive of your product or service, you can go for it. There's no rule against that. For example, autorepairservices.com, contractlayer.com, or, you know, brandarchetypes.com.
Yes,
that's what we did.
That's exactly what we do. But how many people in the world, Amy, just take a guess, because I know you've researched our competitors. How many people in the world do you think are doing brand services based on archetypes? What do you think your guess is?
About a handful, maybe 6.
So worldwide, I would say a dozen.
But yeah, yeah, probably.
And probably, and those are the ones that we are able to find easily. And there are, let's say, another 30 or 40 beyond that are doing it, but they're just not overtly advertising it or presenting it on the website. So we've got a couple of dozen direct competitors where people who are talking about brand strategy with the word archetypes. That's so narrow that we can get away with that, and we can talk about our services describe exactly brand archetypes. And, you know, thank you to me for having the foresight to go grab brand archetypes 10 years ago when I saw that it was available, and I knew that I eventually wanted to do this project.
Yes.
But let's go back to your example that you brought up, auto repair services. How many auto repair service companies went out to see if that name was available and found that it was already taken? And probably every one of them.
Right.
So there's the danger. If you can find one that is totally descriptive, like you're suggesting, go for it. But you have to be aware that there is definitely some pros and cons. So tell me, give me some pros and cons that you can think of for taking this approach.
Well, one of the pros is that it's obvious what you do. People don't have to guess. It's very descriptive and most likely easy to remember.
Yeah.
A con would be that it's not really strongly within your brand.
Yeah, so I think that's the big one.
Yeah.
It's very descriptive of what you do, but there's no emotion behind it, right?
Right.
So we're living with the fact that brand archetypes as a name is not emotive. It's not an awesome name like Nike or, you know, a really great brand name. But it describes what we do, and we are infusing our brand with the emotion of the explorer in everything else that we do. So we just want the name brand archetypes to be supportive of our brand. And we're very, very much keeping it in mind, right?
Right, absolutely.
What else?
Well, you know, you can, like you mentioned before, lots of people are looking for these exact same things. And so you could think that you have this great, awesome name and then it's gone or taken, or you waste a lot of time looking for it. And then often what happens then is that people try to, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but tack on a different word or make a variation of it that ends up just not making sense or not being that powerful. And that's another danger. Yeah. A mistake that you can get into.
Well, yeah. Another kind of not as obvious one is we started this whole podcast describing how difficult the process is and how invariably the business owner who dives into this process gets frustrated. Well, if you spend hours and hours and hours trying to find obvious names that are all taken, that just really ramps up your frustration level.
Right.
And leading you to the quicker decision to settle, which is the biggest mistake you could make.
Right. And also, you don't want it to be too hard to find you either.
Right.
So that's another con that could happen when you're too generic.
Anyone who says to me that I need to describe what I do in my name, and they also at the same time say, it'll help people find me. Although that is true, that if you have the phrase autorepairservices.com, it's in your name and your URL, that you can be found more easily. But we've described all these other challenges that I'm hoping people are hearing and that they kind of veer away from this approach. But there's another big downside is if you have the phrase autorepairservices.com, even if you own that domain, how many people are going to find you when you know that the auto repair industry has literally tens of thousands of other competitors in it?
Right. It doesn't guarantee you're going to be the first one listed just because they use that search.
Exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right. So being found is more of a function of search engine optimization and the content on your website than it is getting a good name that is kind of a little nugget in the process. So
right. Well, you're exactly right. So we have mentioned a few times that you need to keep your brand in mind throughout the whole process of this situation of naming your company. We can call it a situation because it feels like that.
Yeah.
And I think you have a great example of a client that you worked with that changed their name.
Yeah, this is years ago. I described this process in the book that is going to be coming out in a month or two. And the gentleman's name is Craig Klaus, K-L-A-U-S, and he's an architect in New Hampshire. If you're listening, Craig, hi. And when he and I first met it was at a conference, and he heard me do a presentation on this idea of brand archetypes and brand strategy. And he was so moved by this that he went home and had kind of an epiphany. He had spent his whole life avoiding the connection to Santa Claus because he had spent his whole life being, you know, mercilessly teased as a child for being Santa Claus because of his last name. And when he got home, he realized, you know, this is an archetype, that Santa Claus, the benevolent, gift-giving, you know, the ho-ho guy with the red suit and coming down the chimney, almost all societies, cultures have this kind of a person, Sinterklaas and Père Noël, and, you know, go to any country and they have this kind of person, persona, yeah, embodiment, right? So he embraced it and said, you know what? I'm going to go with Santa Claus as my archetype. And I thought, in hindsight, he didn't consult me on this. He just did this on his own, which I think is awesome. So he went home and he embraced this idea and he changed his company name to Reindeer Design. And his tagline was, "What's on your wish list?" Which I think is just awesome. If you're going to have Santa Claus as your archetype, that is a person who is going through the naming process and is keeping their brand in mind. So thanks for having that as our very first tip.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely. And we are going to talk about some rules and things to keep in mind as we journey down this process of naming. Most of these rules have the goal of making your name memorable and within brand and defensible and things like that. But these rules are just guidelines, more like a rule of thumb. You can break them if you consider all the advice as a whole. And I have personally broken a few recently. So my company was named Xander Management, and it originally started out as a property management company when my husband and I were running a hunting lodge in northern Michigan. But I kept the name because I just had a lot of things going on. I already had the tax ID number and everything like that. So when I started my marketing agency, I kept the name. It's my last name.
Kind of, you know, sounds like you settled, Amy.
I did. I totally settled. And I decided that I had to follow my own advice. This is ridiculous, right? It's like the barefoot shoemaker's kids.
Right.
So I'm recently going through the name change, and my new business name is called ZediaMedia.com. And it doesn't.
Love it.
Yeah. And it doesn't particularly scream my archetype, which is also the Explorer archetype. However, it rhymes, it's short, it's defensible, it's fun, and also Zedia is just a made-up word, and I didn't spell Zedia the same as media, it's Z-E-E, and media is M-E-D. But that also kind of goes along with me because I am a wonderful writer and not so great of a speller. So kind of embrace that about me too. And, you know, since I'm kind of a solopreneur, I have contractors that work for me and stuff, but I'm a personal brand as well as a business brand. So it kind of all worked for me. And I'm in the process of changing that ZediaMedia. So I am in the process of what we talked about earlier, is going through that process of changing your name after I've been in business for 5 years. So
also, I think that you have a little connection, a fun connection, with the fact that Zedia begins with the letter Z, or Z for our Canadian listeners. And your last name, Xander, begins with the letter Z
as
well.
It's a good last name. There. I'm either first or last in any list.
You're first in our mind.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
So let's have you go first on talking about some of these high level rules.
So we created a list. I should say you created a list, and you also have a section on your website about this. So rules number 1 through 5 are all the same. Clarity, 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 clarity. Because it's really, really important, and you and I often feel the need to repeat things several times when we feel like they're really important. So
right.
Clarity. Clarity is very important.
So I have what I call the little old lady test. And because it's the first 5 rules, and because we've repeated the first 5 rules, I'm hoping people get the importance of this rule. If you are not clear, you have broken the first 5 rules and it is a bad name. And more to the point, really, the clarity leads to memorability. So, but clarity, 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 clarity is easier to say than memorability, memorability, memorability. So you're really, all of these high level rules are to make it so that your name is eventually memorable. So the little old lady test is, if you were to meet a new person you've never met before, and she's a little old lady, let's say 85 years old, her name is Agnes, you met her in a grocery store, she asks you what you do, and you tell her about it, and she asks your company name, will she be able to go home 2 hours later with no internet experience, and she's talking to her husband about this wonderful person that she just met in the grocery store, will she remember your name? Exactly right. Correct spelled, correct spelling, she's going to convey your name. If you can pass the little old lady test with any name that you come up with, then it's a good name. That's how important it is, right? So one of the rules that I think that, in my mind, it's the second most important rule. If you find a clear and memorable name, it's also probably clear and memorable because it's visual. Now, we know from education, like my wife's a teacher, that there are lots of learning styles, that there are people who learn visually, there are people who learn audially, through the written word. There are people who are kinesthetic, they're hands-on, touchy-feely people. But all human beings are visual. We're kind of wired to see the world and react to it. You know, our brains are wired to be able to detect faces and eyes so that we can see a tiger that's hidden in the weeds in the distance so we can react to it, right? Our brains are wired visually. And because of that, if you can put a visual into a person's head with your name, then that enhances the effectiveness of the name. So making it visual is a very powerful thing.
The next thing is that your business should be easy to spell. This is really important. It kind of goes back to the little lady test and things like that. There is a local company here that I think they're a heating and cooling company, and they are a crazy long Dutch name. And it begins with V, and it has about six O's in the middle of it, and I don't even know how to pronounce it. I don't think I could even type it in or spell it if I was looking for them. So
I don't have any.
Yeah. I don't even want to try to attempt to say it. Every time I see their billboard, I try and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But I think if I was Dutch, I'd be able to say it because it's probably follow some, you know, Dutch rules about how to say the word. But it's their name. So, you know, but I think recently I've seen a shortened version of it, and they're saying something like, yeah, they're making fun of the fact that it's hard to say their name. So they're working with it.
It's like the Swedish chef.
I know. Right. And, but this brings up a really good point too. We were talking, earlier about this when we were getting ready for this podcast, that we have a mutual client that spells a word incorrectly on purpose for her business. And, her business is Exquisite Designs, and she spells exquisite. She starts it with an X. And we did talk to her. We did consult with her about changing her name, and Exquisite Design spelled correctly wasn't available. And she really liked this, and it kind of played into her creator archetype and things like that. So we kept it. And one of the reasons that we kept it was because Google's gotten really smart. And I'm sure we've all had the experience where we've typed something in wrong to Google and it comes up and it's like, did you mean this? And it spells it right. And like I said, I'm a bad speller. So this happens to me a lot. I'm very familiar with this. So Google's my friend. And so we were comfortable with that, and we were okay with that, because even if people said Exquisite Designs, they were gonna still find her with that, starting with that X.
So Amy, do you know where the word Google comes from?
Well, it's a really big number, Google.
It's a Googleplex is a really big number. It's a one with 100 zeros after it. And Googleplex, where the word Google comes from, is spelled G-O-O-G-A-L, not G-L-E. So even Google is a misspelling.
Love it.
And most people don't.
I like Google even more now.
You do. Glad I could help.
Yeah.
Okay, our next rule is keep it short. The longer your name, the less memorable it will be. When you start tacking on words, when you start tacking on syllables, when you start tacking on even short letters and words onto your name, the longer it gets, the harder it is to remember, the more cumbersome it is, the more difficult it is to pronounce. It's longer words are harder to spell. There's just a lot of reasons to try to keep it as short as possible. If you have a really powerful short name, it's going to take a long time to find those. We just had a meeting this morning with a person, and I looked at the domain name, and the first thing in my mind was three words. All three of them were multiple syllables. So his domain name is probably going to be 20, 22 letters long and like six syllables. It's rough. It's a little too long. It's a lot too long. So, this was the very first meeting, and we certainly weren't going to talk to him about changing his company name at this point. Also considering it's a second generation family company. But keeping your name short is a very powerful idea, which is why we have it high up on our list.
Right. And going along with that, a one or two word name is ideal than, you know, a five word name or something like that.
Right. Another downside of a long name is you're going to have to type this thing a lot.
Right.
Every time you're going to have to fit this domain name. The company name becomes the domain name, and then you add on your first name then the domain for your email address. How many times do you have to look at your email address, type it out? You have to fit it on a business card. There's just a lot of downsides to having a long name. So, also, when we're talking about really great names, think about just name a company, name a big brand, a big, well-recognized, easy-to-remember company. And how many of them have three or more words? And the answer is very few.
Right.
Very, very few, yeah. But how many people who are in the settling mode will come up with Bill's Auto Body? You know, three words.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's no brand, too long, and it's vanilla.
Right.
Let's be a little bit more creative. We got the high-level ideas out of the way. Let's start drilling down into other things to consider. Don't use hype or superlatives like best or A1 or, when you add on these extensions, you're adding on a whole new word, you know, mega, super. Just because the domain that you want is not available, adding on mega onto the beginning of it doesn't make it a good name. It's descriptive, but it doesn't make it a good name. It just makes it too long, too cumbersome, doesn't flow as well, doesn't make you easier to find. It's a shortcut that you really need to avoid like the plague. And you kind of lose credibility before the person even clicks, because how many people, if they see the word mega or super or A1 or best, how many people really believe that you're the best, right? You know, when you see in the coffee shop we were in this morning, best coffee in Central Michigan. Really? Is it the best coffee? Is that like a thing?
Right. It's like in the movie Elf where he runs into the store and he's like, you did it. You made the best coffee in the world.
Right. Yeah. And the rest of the internet is easy to be more skeptical than Elf is, you know.
True.
They don't really believe it. So don't even say it.
It's a lot. Yeah. Well, it's a lot to live up to.
Right.
You give yourself that all the way. Yeah. So in talking about that too, tacking on words like mega or super, but also don't tack on words to make up a name. Necessarily, just adding on words. And this is where people sometimes get into this trap when they're trying to find their domain name or URL and they can't find the perfect one that they want. They just start adding on words and stuff. So it kind of goes on with the same thing.
I think an example of that, the people who are settling, they're eyeball deep in that process of finding, you know, 150 names that were already taken that they would be happy with. So then they start doing things like best website, MI.com for Michigan, right? You know, or
right.
Central Michigan best website.com. It's like, adding on your region might help you a smidge with being found, but oh my gosh, talk about adding on too many syllables, too many words. It makes a really bad name.
Right.
So don't do that. Just flat out, don't do that. So let's see. What's our next rule?
So it's always always try to go with a .com, but you're going to talk about how this isn't always necessarily the number one rule.
Yeah, I think 15 years ago, I would have said there were very few reasons to go with anything but a .com. But gosh, it's been at least that long. W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, is kind of the governing body of what happens on the internet. They made the decision that it was time to open up the process of allowing other TLDs. Now, a TLD, or a top-level domain, is that extension after your name, like .com. .com, for a commercial website, is a TLD. The odds are that the .com is going to be a competitor of yours. And if you tell someone xyzcorp.net, they forget the .net and they go to xyzcorp.com, you just lost business. So 10 years or so ago, that was hugely important, and it is somewhat still important. But the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, the governing body of what happens on the internet, they decided a few years ago that they needed to start opening up this idea of having other TLDs other than .com for businesses. And gosh, there are now hundreds. I think there's like 300 planned and like 180 or 200 of them that are already rolled out or in the process of coming out. And if you go and find these new gTLDs or global TLDs, you can find hundreds of them, like .blue, .hotel, .dog, .farm, .city. I mean, just about any kind of name that you can think of is now an extension. So let's say you have you're a business consultant and you want to say Joe Smith Consulting, you know, is your company name. Well, that's not really a great name because you tacked on the word consulting. Joe Smith, your personal brand, is an awesome name, but joesmith.com is taken, right? Well, how about joesmith.guru or joesmith.consultant, you know? So the .com is still recommended. So let's say Joe Smith goes out and gets joesmith.guru. Well, why not see if joesmithguru.com is also available? And then you can just redirect the traffic of that one to the shorter, more on-brand one. So joesmithguru.com gets redirected to joesmith.guru. And there's a lot more creativity there. It's shorter. It's easy to remember. It's more within that person's personal brand.
Right. And we often get asked a lot, too, when people are buying their domain names and URLs, if they should buy the .com, the .net, the .whatevers. And my advice usually is, yeah, buy as many of them as you want or feel comfortable with buying. And like you said, you can always redirect them to.
Yeah. And if you can afford it, you know, a small company, you know, when you start talking about some of these new TLDs, some of them are not $9 a year. Some of them are like $40 and $50 a year. And if you start racking up 10 or 20 of these things, it can get really expensive really fast. So I take kind of the opposite approach as you. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the advice that you're giving to buy them, but I take the opposite approach and I say, don't worry about it. Let's talk about you again, Zedia Media. You've purchased the domain. You're in the process of building your new website. You've established your usage, public usage, right, with that name.
Right.
What if you find a year from now that someone is using zediamedia.net? What are you going to do about it? And the answer is, there are things that you can do to defend your rights to that name. And there was back in the late 1990s, a law that was passed in the United States called the Consumer Squatting Consumer Protection Act. The landmark case was led by Governor Jerry Brown. I think it was the mayor of San Francisco at the time, not the governor of the state, but it was jerrybrown.com, and he realized that someone had turned it into a porn site.
And oops.
So he and a whole bunch of other celebrities who were having the exact same thing happen, they said, you know, our rights are being infringed on. Our names are part of our intellectual property, and we should have the ability to protect that. And not only should they have the ability to protect it, but people who have gone through the formal process of getting a federal trademark, they should also have the ability to protect their rights. So the law says if you have a recognizable name or a federal trademark for a piece of intellectual property, meaning a name, then you can defend that and you can force the release of that domain for the infringing person, right?
Right.
So anyway, a lot of this is, you know, diving a little bit deep into the weeds, but the point of it is .coms are still kind of recognized the de facto TLD for businesses. And even if you go for one of these new TLDs, you should still try to go with a .com, right?
Gotcha. So the next couple things on our list that we've covered a little bit already, don't pick a name that's too generic. And we talked about that at the beginning about how it being super easy to find or just getting lost in everything else that's going on with your industry. And then you cover don't pick a name that's too long for the biggest reason of just the laborious process of typing it all the time and fitting it on a business card and all that kind of thing too. But it also just makes everything a lot harder for lots of reasons. And then the next thing is that we generally try to stay away from acronyms. Some acronyms that we know are really memorable and people do know what they are. There's some big ones out there. But for a new business starting out, it's not something we recommend. It's just hard to infuse brand. People don't always understand what it stands for. It's just something you got to say over and over again and explain. And yeah, it just becomes annoying.
And I always get when I make that suggestion, like, well, what about UPS? What about IBM? Like, well, yeah, you can find exceptions to every rule, but when International Business Machines created the acronym IBM, why did they do that? And the answer is they didn't. It happened to them. It was not strategically planned. It just, their name was so long and so bad to begin with, that the consumer, the users, the general public said, we're just not going to say that. It's too much of a mouthful. We're just going to say IBM. And that became their identity. So the example that people are saying, what about? It's usually because it happened to them and it was a bad idea to begin with. So don't go there. Acronyms have no brand in them whatsoever, unless the acronym actually says something. You know, if you create an acronym that has meaning and it is part of your brand and you're doing that strategically, well, go for it. I think that could be turned around into a good name. Let me give you an example of a company, an existing customer, a client of mine, and I love what they did with their brand. I love the process that we went through. We revamped their logo, their rewrote their tagline, we redesigned their website. And I love, love, love their new brand, but one of the very first questions that I asked them was, how married are you to your name? Now, this is a logistics company here in Central Michigan, in Jackson, and this is like a third generation family business. And the grandfather started it out as Automated Logistics Systems. The acronym, ALS. As in Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, it's so unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, but because we're talking now about a family name, they really truly are married to that name, and they made the decision, no, we're not going to change it. Too much history, too much equity, and we're just going to live with the fact that there is that negative connection, right? So we worked with it, redesigned their logo, revamped their entire brand, and we worked around it, but it was tough. It was the very first question out of my mouth. Are you married to your name? Because I recognized it as not only an acronym, but an acronym with a not so great meaning. So if we're not going to use acronyms, what about like numbers? You know, should we put numbers in our names? And, you know, one downside of doing that, if you have like One Best Service, I mean, that's a bad name, obviously, but if I have that as the name, is it the letters O-N-E or is it the number one?
Right. We've all heard that, like on the radio when they're saying a company name or spelling out the website for us to go visit, and they'll say one, the number one, or they always have to explain it.
Yeah. And then what rules have you just broken? At least the first five, right?
Right. Clarity. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you're naming your kid or your dog or something like that. Do you want to explain this over and over again? Do you want to say it over and over again? Things like that. You just have to think about those pitfalls.
So my wife and I last night we watched the movie Blended with Adam Sandler and
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore,
Right.
yeah. And his daughter's name was Espen, ESPN.
Oh no, Espen.
I thought that was
That's
hilarious.
awesome.
Speaking of names, right?
Right.
Okay, so I get asked often, I want to be found high on the list in the Yellow Pages, and I kind of throw up in my mouth a little bit when I hear
What, Kevin, what are the
that.
Yellow Pages?
What are the Yellow Pages? What is
What's a
that?
phone book?
What's a phone book? There are advantages in alphabetical listings of companies that if you're high on the list, that you will be searched more, you'll be tapped into more frequently. So we throw it on the list. It's low on our priorities here, but if you do start with a number and it makes sense, and or if you start with a letter early in the alphabet, unlike Z,
Right.
sorry, Amy,
It's okay. Amy
then
is first. A.
Amy is first. That's right, A to Z. But if you do have an A, B, or C, that can be helpful in some circumstances, but don't obsess about that one. Again, these are rules of thumb. They're not hard and fast, so.
Right. So we mentioned this earlier too. One of the things to do is to check the big social media sites, the major platforms that you're using, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, well, things like that to see if your name is available too.
So we are not, and we're both Amy and I are social media consultants as well. We don't ever recommend that a company or even an individual try to dive into all social platforms. It's too much, and we recommend to people that they dabble a little bit. But if you're already on social media, you already know what platforms you're using and which ones work for you, so go for those. If you're starting a new company, try to figure out which ones you're going to use up front. And even if you were to just to go out and secure the top five, so Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, it's a short list. It's not 20. So go out and grab your name for those. But what if you find, like we did, that one of them is not available? It's not the end of the world. If you are luxuriously in the process of doing this before your company begins, you're in the process of a startup or you have the idea of a company right now and you're listening, you're in a great position because people who have to back into this and, find new names after they've got bad ones, that's a lot harder. But if you're starting a new company, there are some creative ways around this issue. So we have a mutual client. The name of the company is airambulancecard.com, and we don't need to go into their services, but when they started diving into social media, they found that facebook.com/airambulancecard was too long. Facebook only allows 15 characters in that vanity URL name. Twitter.com, it was one of them was taken for some bizarre reason. I think it was a competitor. There was a lot of things that were going wrong there. So they came up with a tagline, "We bring you home." And they figured out that all of the social platforms had those extensions as those vanity URLs that were all available. So I think that's a great idea, and consider that having your tagline be your social name. It reinforces the tagline, and if you've got a great tagline, it reinforces your brand, right?
That's right. And if you follow all the rules in our previous podcast about how to create a good tagline, it should not be too many characters for that to
And
work.
four syllables or words, right? It should be short and tight.
Right.
Okay, so the last thing to do when you've followed all these rules and you've started the process of coming up with lists and lists and lists of words and names, and you've got some ideas. The strong recommendation that we make is don't get yourself married conceptually. Don't get too excited with an awesome name that's on your list until you figure out that you can keep it legally, that you can defend it from a trademark perspective. And the only way to do that in the United States is to go to the USPTO.gov, the US Patent and Trademark Office website, and check their trademark database. We'll put in the show notes a little bulleted list of the steps that you follow. And when you go through their search function, and you put your name in quotes, you'll find direct competitors. So if you have ABC Corp and you put in ABC Corp in quotes, you're going to find direct competitors that have already filed trademarks in the United States. This is not the do-all, be-all, end-all of this search process. You also need to do the search without quotes, and you're going to find every company in the United States that has the word ABC and Corp in it. And so you're going to have to do a lot of kind of digging and page searches to see if there are any offending searches or if any offending marks. And then you also need to do a search on the internet, because there might be a company in, let's say it's in Texas and we're planted in central Michigan. Even though they're in Texas and they're so far away, it's the internet. And they may consider that to be an infringement if we use the exact same name in the exact same industry. The intellectual property attorneys would say that we are confusingly similar. So you want to avoid that. So the last step is not just going to the USPTO.gov site. We strongly recommend that you contact an intellectual property attorney and have them do what's called a clearance check. Until you have the official go-ahead that you are good from a trademark perspective, don't get married to any name. You know, and a small business owner who's just starting up a new startup, they may not want to dole out the $1,000 to $1,500 that a trademark attorney is going to probably charge for this clearance check. But boy, let me tell you, the number of clients that I've had who have gone through the process of having a trademark dispute, myself on that list, where I was the federal trademark holder and I was the one who won. But if the roles were reversed and the other person that was claiming that it actually sent me a cease and desist letter saying I need to stop using my name, they thought they were going to win. And they were very upset about the conflict, and I wasn't too happy about it either. But because I was the federal trademark holder, I ended up winning. But that's not something you want to go into. You know, no one ever wants to have to contact a lawyer for any reason, let alone this, when it's so important to the fundamental basis of your company's existence, your name, right? So we've given you a whole bunch of high-level rules. And Amy, before we let people go, let's just talk a little bit about some good names and bad names, and then we'll wind things up here.
Yeah, I'm always on the lookout for business names. I just think it's really interesting, and if they work or don't work or why and things like that. And so a couple of my favorites are in Northern Michigan, and one of them is called the Top Rack, which is a women's clothing store. Has a double meaning there, but I really like it, even if it's not PC, I just really think that that's great.
Yeah, Top Rack. I would love to imagine that they are a jester archetype and they are taking full advantage of the visual there, that it's, you know, that it's not, you know, overtly, but that you can tap into that concept pretty easily. I love that. And it's two syllables, you know, seven letters. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Another one that I thought was pretty amusing, and at first I was like, what? And then after I thought about it, I'm like, no, that actually really works. It's Argue Communications. And it's just a cell phone store, again, a little small town in Northern Michigan. I think, I'm not sure, but I think Argue might actually be their last name. But I just think that that's great. Like, it's just so counter, you know, Argue and Communications, and it's just funny.
Again, diving in with the brand, I would love to think that they are an outlaw archetype. You know, the contrary, the
right
meanings of Argue and effective communication, they kind of play off each other, and I would see that as a very rebel outlaw kind of approach.
Yeah.
So let me take the flip side of this and give you some poor ones. Now, I already talked about automated logistics systems as an acronym. So let me give you a couple other acronyms. I could pick any one of these rules and give you examples of bad company names based on them breaking those rules. So let's just use acronyms. So a couple of companies that also use acronyms, CVS Pharmacy. What does CVS stand for?
Well, I didn't know this until I Googled it and we were talking about it, but it stands for Consumer Value Stores.
How many people know that? And if you started a new pharmacy called Consumer Value Stores Pharmacy, you're in the same boat as IBM was when they started. And of course, people are going to shorten it, and then you're going to end up shortening it. And that's how we have CVS. But a more fun one, equally bad, but I think they have successfully dug themselves out of it. And if you're starting a new company, don't do this to yourself. Don't pick an acronym and then hope that you can dig yourself out of it by creating a great brand around the acronym. It's just too hard. Don't do it. But IKEA is an acronym. And I think they're a Swedish company. Is that right? So it's Swedish? Yeah.
Yeah, they're Swedish. So we had to look this up too. So IKEA stands for Ingvar Kamprad Almatard Argenyard. And I'm really sorry if I totally mangled that. However, what it is it's a guy's name.
Ingvar Kamprad.
And the town he grew up in, and then a farm that was in that town. So, like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, well, it's impossible to say. And so, right. Of course, you're going to turn it into an acronym. And because of their awesome marketing efforts, their global presence, the hundreds of millions of dollars that they've spent on promoting the brand, of course, IKEA is now part of our culture, and we all recognize who they are. But as a name, yeah, let's try to avoid that. If you're brand new and you're starting a new company, it's not the way to go. Okay, so that's the end of this episode. And now that you have these high-level ideas, be sure to join us next week, because what we're going to do is we're going to start with these high-level ideas and we're going to take a deeper dive into the actual process that you can actually go through. You start out by putting on your thick skin, because this is a painful, arduous, laborious, lengthy process. But we're going to give you the step-by-step ideas of things to consider and how to create word lists and all the different things to get from point A to having an awesome name, point B. And I look forward to that. So it's going to be a good one next week.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Amy. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.